Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Or is it that you are feeling empty for all time because you might have lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? Oh, my brother Arjuna, I can think of no other reason for your becoming so dejected. Purport. All the inquisitiveness of Maharaj Yudhishthir about the world situation was already conjectured by Maharaj Yudhishthir on the basis of Lord Krishna's disappearance from the vision of the world. And this was now disclosed by him because of the acute dejection of Arjuna, which could not have been possible otherwise. So even though he was doubtful about it, he was obliged to inquire frankly from Arjuna on the basis of Sri Narad's indication. And thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first canto, 14th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Yakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukum Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langai Te Girim Yad Kripata Maham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Tivasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So begging permission from the assembled Vaishnavas and all the devotees listening online to be able to speak something relevant on this transcendental subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we had a brilliant class yesterday by Nishkinchana Prabhu. He seems to be getting better and better as he goes along. I think Sutapa's training is paying off. You know? And, you know. So, yeah, what's his name? I think Prayojan Prabhu was saying, you know, that, you know, he's, when Nishkinchana's giving class, it's just like, shh, it doesn't stop, it's like just pouring out the mercy, you know. So, fine, he's found his element. You know? So I can't compete with that, unfortunately. So I'll just have to try my best. You know? So in this chapter, it's explained that Arjuna, he went to Dwarka to be with Lord Krishna and to be with the Yadus. And he spent quite a lot of time there. I think it was 7 months. You know? And then Yudhishthira Maharaj was wondering, you know, what's happening to Arjuna? You know, where is he? What's going on? But then during the course of time, he could see many symptoms, inauspicious symptoms, which you've all been listening to for the last few weeks described here. And thinking, oh, there must be something happening in this world. And kind of alluding to Lord Krishna's completing his pastimes and departing. And then when Krishna, he saw Arjuna, and Arjuna arrived back, Arjuna was most dejected, and he had tears in his eyes, and he didn't look like his usual self. You know? Like also, like here sometimes, you know, in the ashram even, you know, when you see someone, you know, the face is the index of the mind, you know. So when you see someone and you think, oh, okay, you know, what's the problem? You know, there's something up, you know. So some of the devotees are very good at seeing that, and then they can try and speak to them and find out what's the cause of their dejection or unhappiness. You know? And similarly, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was feeling for Arjuna, and he wanted to know why Arjuna was feeling dejected and unhappy and sad. He had a very valid reason, because ultimately it was Lord Krishna who is Arjuna's great friend and teacher and, you know, everything for Arjuna. He had concluded his manifest pastimes. So then, naturally, Arjuna would feel very, very lost. And just like just recently, we lost our very dear Bhakti Churu Maharaj. He finished his manifest pastimes here on earth. So then many devotees there, they were coming together from around the world to glorify him and remember him and recite his qualities, you know. So they feel a lot of separation. There's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which is very interesting, because when you lose the association of somebody very, very special, then it's very, very sad. But for someone like a pure devotee, like Bhakti Churu Maharaj, or any like bona fide spiritual master, like Srila Prabhupada, when he left this world, his disciples, it was a great shock for them. And also some of them were very young in Krishna consciousness. They didn't have so much time with him. It was difficult. But it's explained that the pure devotees of the Lord and the Lord himself, that although they appear to be unmanifest, but they are manifest still through many different ways, through their instructions. So Bhakti Churu Maharaj, he made one video explaining that there's the Vapu and the Vani. So the Vapu is the physical presence. So the disciples, they serve the physical, they serve the spiritual master when he's physically present in many menial ways. And they serve the Vapu and the physical form. And that's to build their attachment to that spiritual master, so that when the spiritual master is no longer physically present, that they have that attachment and they have the faith to be able to follow his instructions. So ultimately, the physical presence of the spiritual master is temporary. It's there for some time in this world, and his instructions, they're eternal. So If one follows the instructions of the spiritual master and has firm faith in that, then that means he's always with his spiritual master. So like you can be sitting right next to the spiritual master, and you can be considering yourself, actually I'm a confidant, you know, I'm very close. But actually, if you don't understand the mood of the spiritual master and you're not following his instructions, then you might as well be a million miles away. You know? So, and then if you're in some other part of the world, you know, thousands or millions of miles away, I don't know how far you have to go around to get that far, but if you're following the instructions of the spiritual master and you have faith in the spiritual master, then actually you're with him, you know? So like Srila Prabhupada says, he says, if you want to find me, he says, I'm in my books, you know. If you want to associate with me, I'm in my teachings, my instructions, and those are eternal. So similarly, the Lord completed his manifest pastime on earth, but the Lord is present in so many ways. He's present in the form of his holy name. He's present in the form of his teachings, the transcendental scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm just going to read a verse which is explaining that just after the departure of Lord Krishna, Krishna is manifest in the form of the Bhagavatam. So Krishna is manifest in the form of the spiritual master. He comes to direct the living entity. He comes in the form of the deity, you know. He comes in the form of prasadam. He comes in the form of so many ways, you know, just to help us. But then we say, it's like we can't see the wood for the trees, you know. It's like, oh, you know, where is Krishna, you know? Krishna is Paramatma within the hearts of all living entities. He's also in every atom. Andantaranu paramayanu charantarastam. He's in every atom. You know? So Krishna is everywhere. You know, and if we have the vision and we have the knowledge and the training, that we can always see him and always be conscious that he's there. So people go through a lot of difficulty in their lives, And sometimes they think, why is Krishna doing this to me? You know? Yeah. I mean, I've experienced it, you know. I'm sure all of us here, unless somebody's like really, really elevated soul, then they're completely in touch with Krishna. But otherwise, think, oh, there was one congregation member, and she goes to the Bhakti Riksha group. So she wrote to me and she said that for so long, she said, oh, it's been months and months we haven't been able to come and see Krishna, you know. And it's really, you know, we're desperate to see Krishna and take darshan. So then when the lockdown eased a little bit and then there was darshan was available, so she came and she told me, I didn't see her, she said that she came and then she was a little angry with Krishna. He said, like, why have made this arrangement where we're not able to see you for 4 months? So she was a little upset. So she said, when I see Krishna, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. But she said, when she came and she stood in front of Radha Gokulananda, then immediately Krishna was so beautiful and so charming that she forgot all her, anger or unhappiness, you know. Since he thought, well, he's so charming, so beautiful, actually, I forgot what I was going to be angry about. So then what she did, she went to darshan and then went out, and she thought, no, I haven't had enough. So she came round again, you know, and says again, and then she did that 4 times until the lady on the door said, I think you've had enough now. So that's good. It's this intense eagerness to see Krishna. And actually, this is amazing. This is a spiritual quality. So sometimes Krishna makes an arrangement that he appears to kind of go away or not allow us in. But he does that not to because he doesn't like us, or he can't be bothered, you know, or he wants a bit of peace, you know. He does it because to increase our attachment. You know? So that's very important. So, I mean, so this is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 3, text 43, and Sutta Goswami instructs the sages of Namishranya. I think many of you know this verse, it's quite a famous verse. Krishna swadamo bhagate dharma dagyana bidabhisaha kalo nashta drisham esha purana ko dano didaha. This Bhagavad Puran is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali shall gain light from this Purana. So this is a very, very powerful verse. So this Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, and accompanied by religion and knowledge, etc. So persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So that's a very, very powerful. So if like because it says when Krishna departed, then Kali Yuga began. It couldn't begin while he was here. But even while Kali Yuga is here, Krishna is manifest in the form of the Bhagavatam. Actually, I read something else which is quite interesting. I'll just get that for you, if I can find it. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is from one of the purport of that particular. It says, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared before us just as a little prior to the beginning of Kali Yuga, and he returned to his eternal home practically at the commencement of Kali Yuga. While he was present, he exhibited everything by his different activities. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita specifically and eradicated all pretentious principles of religiosity, and prior to his departure from this material world, he empowered Sri Vyasadeva through Narada to compile the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And thus, both Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are like torchbearers for the blind people of this age. In other words, if men in this age of Kali want to see real light of life, they must take to these two books only, and their aim of life will be fulfilled. Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of the Bhagavatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the summum bonum of life, Lord Sri Krishna personified. We must therefore accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the direct representation of Lord Krishna. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can see also Lord Sri Krishna in person. They are identical. I mean, that's really powerful. You know? So if anyone had any doubts, that should clarify the doubts. You know? So sometimes, you know, you just open a page and you're going through some kind of particular difficulty, or you're not sure about something, you need help with making some decision. So you open a page of the Gita or the Bhagavatam, and then you read something right there which is specifically meant for you. You know? How many of you have experienced something like that? Okay, great. You know? So I said to one gentleman, he brought some mangoes for the deities and at the back gate, and he was telling me that he had this set of Bhagavatams in his house for a long time. He said, but he just had them and he wasn't finding time to read them. But because of the COVID-19, you know, he said, well, that's a really bad thing. But then the good thing was that he was working from home, and then he actually decided to pick up the Bhagavatam and start reading. You know? And then he thought, wow, you know, he thought, like, this is so amazing, and why didn't I pick it up before, you know? So yeah, I used to tell him, you know, I used to joke with him. I said, why don't you get the cobwebs off your Bhagavatams? You know? Because if he's not reading them regularly, then dust and cobwebs will accumulate on them, you know. But when you read the Bhagavatam, and it clears all the cobwebs from within your heart, you know. So anyway, very, very interesting. So this Kali Yuga, Kale Dosha Nide Rajan. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. And Asti Eka Mahan Guna, and Kirtan Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Pramvajit. So that Kali Yuga is likened to an ocean of faults, you know. And there's one good quality, and that is the chanting of the Lord's holy name. So they say, like devotees, they can be either like bumblebees, you know, or they can be like flies, you know. So the flies, if you notice the flies, they're looking for, you know, they go on the rubbish pile, or they look for sores and different things, you know. But the honeybee is always looking for the nectar, you know. So then when we can choose whether to be a fly that looks for sores and faults in others, or we can be the honeybee that sees the good in others, you know. So I think it's conducive to be the honeybee, because then you get the nectar, you know. Otherwise, you just get a whole load of rubbish, you know. You know? So, so they say, like, when you're pointing the finger at somebody, you know, this person is like this, and they said this, and I don't like the way they looked at me, and they didn't give me enough rasgullas or whatever it was, you know. So like this. They said that when you're pointing the finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing to you, you know. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 1, text 10, it's a verse that begins with Prayanal Payusha. Does anyone know that rest of the verse and would like to complete it? Okay, there we go. Nish Panditji Maharaj. No, nice and loud so everyone can hear it. Very good. Okay. So don't say the translation yet. So this is a verse from first canto, chapter 1, text 10, Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's basically describing like the qualities of people in Kali Yuga, you know, Kali Yuga specimens, you know. So it's listing six things that people in Kali Yuga are like symptoms of, six symptoms of people in the age of Kali. So would anyone like to hazard a guess as, and what those six symptoms in this particular verse are? Short-lived, okay. Yeah, that's right, you've got one. So there's five left. Lazy, okay. Yeah, that's right, okay. Misguided, yeah. Unlucky. Short life, already got. Short memory. They have that as well, but it's not listed here. They have a lot of things that are short, actually. Unlucky. What did you say? What did you say? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Unlucky, that's unfortunate. Huh? Always disturbed, yeah? Have you met anyone like that? All the time. Yeah, so, okay, we got five of them. There's one left. Yeah, I mean, it's part of it, you know. Okay, so I'll go through, okay. Short lives, you know. Who said quarrelsome, right? Yeah, okay. Gaura Krishna Prabhu, he's a scholar. He's got three of them, you know? So he wins. You know? So yeah, quarrelsome. Yeah, have you had any quarrels lately with anyone? No. That's just internal. Yeah, we meet a lot of people actually. There's a lot of internal conflict going on, you know. So if they're not quarreling with others, they're quarreling with themselves, you know. So therefore, it's difficult to make progress like that, you know. So here, symptoms of people in the Iron Age of Kali, short-lived, they're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and always disturbed. Now, you know, that's quite a lot of, you know, that's, it's kind of a real downer, isn't it? You know? So if those are the qualities that we have, then, you know, it looks like we don't have much hope, you know, isn't it? So, okay, so let's see if Srimad Bhagavatam can offer us a little bit of hope. Okay, here we go. Sisi Radha Gokulananda ji ki Sisi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Sisi Gaura Nitai ki Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Okay. So actually, luckily Srimad Bhagavatam can offer a lot of hope, you know. So even if we are short-lived, quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. It says, there's a nice verse in the first canto, chapter 1, text number 14. And it says, Apana samsatim gauran yannama vivashogrinan tato sadhya vimucheta yad bibeti swayam bhayam. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. And that's the sages to Sutta Goswami. So that's a powerful verse. It's like living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death. You know? So in Kali Yuga, you know, that's everyone, you know, that, apart from a few nitya siddhas, you know. And they can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. So just imagine if even unconsciously chanting the holy name can free people from the complicated meshes of birth and death, what would the the benefit of consciously chanting the holy name be, yeah? That would be even more powerful. Yeah? So there's says here, Vayam tuna vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame yakshin vatam rasagyanam swadu swadu pade pade. That's 1.1.19. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with him relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment. So it says, we never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, and who is glorified by hymns and prayers. You know, and those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with him are relishing hearing his pastimes at every moment. So it's really, really important. So we're saying to people that try and work in such a way and do activities that will help you to develop your relationship with the Supreme Lord. You know? Because it's all about relationships, isn't it? You know, if somebody asks you, can you do this? And you'll think, okay, you know. Well, if you don't have a good relationship with them, you know, then you'll think, well, maybe I'll just do it to get him off my back, you know. You know, or I won't do it fully, you know. but if you have a good relationship with someone, you know, and they care about you and you care about them, and you develop that relationship, and when they ask you something, then you want to please them. So you really put your heart into it and you do it nicely. You know? So the whole point, the spiritual masters are teaching us to develop our relationship with Krishna. So when we develop that relationship, then the taste for hearing and reciting and remembering him is increased more and more and more until where you don't want to stop. You know, because sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti is for those that are not into it. You know, because it's okay, get up at this time, this chant this many rounds, do this, do that, this, you know. Like some people, they come here and they say, oh, why so many, you know, rules and regulations and all this, you know. Because the rules and regulations have to be there for those who are not into it, you know. For those who are into it, they're already into it. There's no question of them not doing it. They're on the Raganuga platform, you know. They're doing it and they love doing it and there's no question of them not doing, you know. But eventually the sadhana bhakti, if we practice the process of sadhana bhakti, regulated activities, then eventually that we develop some routine, and then eventually some taste will come, and then eventually we get to the platform where we love doing it, and then there's no question of not doing it. You know? So it's nice. And then, so Srila Prabhupada, he was amazing because he brought all these teachings for us and made them readily available for the whole world. You know? So there's another verse there in the Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 1, text 22. Sutapa knows all these, but he's not saying anything because he's giving some of you lot a chance. You know? And that. So this verse, it starts with Tvam na sandarshito. Does anybody know that verse? Come on, Srinivas, you're a scholar, you know. you know, if you, well, that's it, the essence of all things, Hare Krishna. See, the holy name can render all benedictions to living beings. Yeah. Okay, so, Tvanna sandarshito datra dustaram nishtetasaram kalim sattva haram pumsam kana dhara ivanavam. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. So that's a beautiful verse, and it's actually glorifying the spiritual master. You know? So he's saying that we think we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates the good qualities of the human being. So ISKCON can be likened to a ship. You know? And Srila Prabhupada or the present-day spiritual masters are likened to the captain. You know? So a very experienced captain, he knows how to navigate the ship, even in storms. And I remember Srila Prabhupada saying that when he was crossing the oceans on the Jaladuta coming to America, that he said in all directions he looked, he just saw blue, 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 it's all ocean. And he didn't have a clue where he was. But the captain, he knew exactly where he was. You know? So Srila Prabhupada spoke to the captain, and the captain said, "Oh, we're just passing south of Italy, and we're in the Mediterranean, and we're so far from such and such a place." But when Prabhupada was looking out, he couldn't see anything. It was just water everywhere. You know? So the captain, he's experienced. He knows. So like sometimes it says that when there's storms, you know, like when Srila Prabhupada was on the ship, there were storms, and sometimes it felt that he felt seasick and things like that. And on the ISKCON ship as well, sometimes the sea is rough, you know. So then sometimes it's very stormy and we feel seasick, but the solution isn't to jump off the ship, you know, when you feel seasick or the ship, it's stormy. So sometimes some of the other passengers, the other devotees on the ship have to hold you on, you know, until you pass through that storm, because if you jump off, there's a lot of sharks and they'll make a meal out of you, you know. But if you stay on the ship, no matter, you know, the ups and downs and the waves and seasickness, eventually the ship will come into dock, you see. Then you reach your destination back home, back to Godhead. So, yeah, so, anyway, amazing verses and stuff. So, so how do we see Krishna in our life, you know? So Krishna is everywhere, and he's manifesting in the Bhagavatam, in the holy name, in the form of the deity, in the form of the spiritual master, and he's instructing us through the sadhus, the Vaishnavas, and sometimes he even instructs us through some mundane person. He speaks something, and he's like, wow, you know, that Krishna speaking through that person. You know? And he's very readily available in the form of Mahaprasad. You know, we're ready to accept Krishna very readily in that form. But when he comes in some other forms, sometimes we pick and choose, you know. And, I remember one Sankirtan story I was telling Prash. So this was 1984, and we were in a traveling Sankirtan party, five of us, from Soho Street Temple, because I was doing 1 year at Soho Street Temple, and so it was a traveling Sankirtan party. And first of all, we had gone to Lancashire, and we had bought a tent. So we put this tent up outside Blackpool on a farm. You know, we paid the farmer a few pounds to be able to stay on his farm, and we were doing Sankirtan in different cities in Lancashire. You know, Blackpool and Preston and Blackburn and other places like that. And then one day we came back from Sankirtan, and then we couldn't see our tent. We thought, what happened? You know. But that it had been windy, so the tent had fallen over, so it was flat. You know? And we were cooking in the back of the van, you know. So, and later, then we moved to North Wales, and the temple said, okay, just instead of having a tent, why don't you just rent like some holiday cottage or something, you know, because your tent keeps falling over, you know. So we rented a little cottage in a small town called Pristaton in North Wales. So there was five of us when we were doing Sankirtan in all different towns, you know, in North Wales. Have you ever been in North Wales, Sankirtan? Yeah. You grew up near there? Oh, really? Yeah. Wow. So it was a place of pilgrimage then. And which what was the name of the place? Okay. Yeah, so we were doing Sankirtan, and in the summertime, a lot of people go there for holidays and stuff. And we had one bhakta with us. His name was Bhakta Desmond, and he had only been in the movement like 2-3 months. So anyway, we were doing Sankirtan, and we did Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Saturday was a big day, and then Sunday, you know, Saturday night we went to sleep. So Sunday morning we woke up and thought, where's Bhakta Desmond? He can't see him anywhere. And then we looked in the driveway and our car had gone, you know. Our car had gone, and also all the bags of Lakshmi that we had collected for the last 3-4 days had gone. It's like, oh my God, you know, what do we do? Because we only had a little bit of prasadam there, just enough for one day, you know. And we didn't have any money apart from everything was there. So we thought, oh, this bhakta had suddenly, he'd not been in the movement so long, so I think his lower nature got better of him, and he decided in the middle of the night on Saturday night, he saw the bags of Sankirtan Lakshmi, and he thought the car, so he just took the car and the Lakshmi. So we were stranded in North Wales, you know, in a Prestatyn, it's quite, you know, it's not a big city, and it's a long way from Seoul Street, you know. So we're thinking, my God, what do we do? So then I thought, okay, fine, I better go to the phone box. So I went out and to the main street, and I went to the phone box, and I rang the temple president, and I said, look, you know, we've had some problem. One of the bhaktas has stolen the car and all the money, you know. So we're stranded. We don't have anything, you know. Can you send somebody with another vehicle or something? So they said, okay, yeah, we'll send somebody, but we can't get there for another 2 days, you know. I said, fine, okay. So then I just came out of the phone booth, and I was wearing my dhoti, and just then a car just screeched to a halt right there, you know. And this man came out of the car, and he said, oh, are you a Hare Krishna? I said, yeah, I think so. he said, oh, do you know Kripamoya Prabhu? But he didn't say Prabhu, he said, do you know Kripamoya? I said, yeah, I know Kripamoya. He said, oh, he writes, he's been writing to me. He said, oh, I've been chanting and offering my food and doing all this. He said, I just live a mile from here. He said, will you come to my house, you know? He said, we were thinking, my God, what are we going to do, you know? And then we only had very little food. We didn't have any money and we didn't have any car. So I said, well, yeah, okay, we'll come to your house. And he said, look, I want to cook a feast, you know, and I'll come and pick you up, you know. So then a few hours later, he came and he took us to his house, and we had a fantastic kirtan, and we had the class, and he cooked a fantastic feast and everything. And he said, him and his wife are taking up Krishna consciousness and amazing. So we were stranded in North Wales, you know, without anything, without a vehicle, without any money or anything. And then suddenly, this came out of the phone box, and then this car just happened to drive by, and Krishna manifests, you know. And said, okay, we'll make some arrangement for you, you know. So Krishna's always there, completely, you know. And this man now, he moved to Manchester, and then he became a gardener and stuff. And he was doing service around, you know. He's still practicing Krishna consciousness. So Krishna's always there. He's always looking after us. But sometimes we're not seeing his hand, you know. And sometimes we are. So anyway, time has gone, so I'll stop there. So if there's any questions or comments or any corrections, then please continue. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your patience and attentiveness. Srinivas.
Did you get the car back?
So this is a very deep spiritual question. So, so what happened is this devotee, He was a Prabhupada disciple. He drove all the way from Soho Street, and he came to Prestatyn, and he gave us, he brought the car to us. So then, so we had to give him a lift to the train station. So we'd give him a lift to the train station, and we went to the train station. We stopped in the car park to let him out, because he'd have to go back by train because he was bringing the car. But we saw the other car that had been stolen in the car park there at the train station. Of course, the money had gone, you know, but the car was there. And we had two keys, so we got the car back. So we said to him, oh, actually, why don't you just drive this car you brought all the way back again? So anyway, that's for your information. We did get the car back. We didn't get the money back, though, or Desmond. There was one pastime with one thief, you know, he was trying to be good. He was trying to change his ways, and he joined the pilgrimage party, you know, and this group of pilgrims were going on pilgrimage. So then they stopped for the night, and they were resting. So he had an urge to steal, you know, like that. But he thought, no, I can't do it. These are pilgrims, you know, and they're on the pilgrimage. It's not good to do that. And also, I'm trying to give up my bad way. So then what he did was, he couldn't resist himself. So what he did, instead of stealing, he took one person's bag and he put it next to another person as they were sleeping, and he took that one and put it, he changed it all around. So he you know, he had to do something, but he thought, I better not take it completely. So he did that, you know. So, okay. Any other questions or comments? Ian Babu.
Hare Krishna. For the class. It's just in regards to what you're saying about how we're being encouraged to develop a relationship with Krishna as we're doing the services. It's not just like, you know, just routine and this. So is there like an internal meditation we should be having as we do the services, or what would you advise? Because, you know, as we're still new, our mind is going all sorts of places and we're just trying to at least stick to the routine.
Just like do you have a friend that you know and that you care for, you know? Say if Sutapa asks you to do something, or he spends time with you and things, and because you actually have developed some relationship, so you understand something about him and you want to please him, and you know he wants to please you, and you see that he doesn't have anything, he's not trying to harm you in any way or anything. So naturally, then it's on a personal level. When it's on a personal level, then you'll do it with your heart. You know? Otherwise, it's like, oh, some guys ask me to wash the pots, and I'll get it over and done with, you know, like that. You know? But you see, Nikhil, you see, he's washing the pots every day, and Kartik Prabhu, the cook, was saying he's doing it so nicely. You know, he's washing of all the pots, although he's not so big and strong. The pots are, you know, heavy, but he's making it so nice and cleaning, leaving everything so nice. So I was watching him the other day, and you were working with him, right? And he's listening to kirtan all the time. And then I said to him, you know, I was observing his mood, you know. So I said, you know, if you keep this up, you know, you get a job in Mother Yashoda's house, you know. Yeah. You know, you get washing the pots there. So, but or you can, you know, when you have to do something, you can say, okay, I don't really want to do it. I'll do it anyway, you know, like that. You can do it begrudgingly, you know. Or you can think, well, actually, who am I actually doing this for, you know. Is it for, you know, the temple commander, or is it for, you know, bhakta such and such, you know, or this such and such that, or am I actually doing it for Krishna? You know? So when we come on the personal level, like when it's your birthday, you know, then people want to make a cake and they want to, you know, say some nice things about you and remember you, and it touches your heart. You know, and when you're like that, you're a personal, you like to deal with people nicely and everything. And I've seen you deal with guests, you have that ability to connect with people because you're thinking, how do they feel, you know? So that's all it is. So if someone says, oh, like, when I'm chanting, what am I supposed to be thinking, what am I supposed to be doing? I said, well, now you're talking to me, you know, or I'm talking to you, and you're listening to what I'm saying, you're not thinking what's happening in the field, you know, like that. So it's just like that. It's just paying attention. That's it. It's just normal. That's what normal people do. So if we can come to the platform of normality, that's quite an achievement. Yeah.
Thanks for your nice class, Prabhu. But as you were speaking, I was thinking that shouldn't we learn to please devotees even before we learn to please Krishna? Sorry, this might sound a little bit odd. But I'm saying that we've seen devotees, we have devotees with us. Most of the times we're not seeing Krishna anywhere until we take darshan or something. But we see devotees all the time. Or shouldn't we actually practice to serve devotees? So, or be mindful of that first before we're thinking too highly. We can think about Krishna. And we can miss devotees easily.
Actually,
so the mood perhaps should be to serve devotees.
I think you're a very, very valid point. So I'll explain it in two halves. Once was there was a big, it was 1983 or something, there was a big sannyasi that came here, and he was sitting on a Vyasasthana, and he was giving a big lecture. The temple room was jam-packed, you know. And what happened is, at the end, there was questions, and one bhakta was sitting, like, right about here, and then he put his hand up, and then he said to the sannyasi, he said, when we get to the spiritual world, do we have to chant? And then that sannyasi said, no, you don't have to worry about that. He said, with that attitude, you're not even going to get there. Do we have to chant when we get... So, and then I was saying to one devotee, I said, we have to learn to serve the devotees. We have to learn to, develop, some love for the devotees, because the devotees are very dear to Krishna, you know. And also, if you want to go home back to Godhead, the spiritual world is full of them. You know? So like here in the village, we have the house in the village, so we meet some of the neighbors, and a lot of them have this pastime of walking their dog, you know. So many of the neighbors, they think, oh, these Hare Krishnas, you know, they're weird, they've got war paint, and they wear giant nappies, and they do unusual things, you know. I'm trying to get some of them to just be normal, you know. And but then, like, with them, instead of saying, oh, to them, okay, do you know what Bhagavad Gita, 1866, you know. So, but with them, you say, oh, good morning, how are you? And you say, oh, how is your dog been good today? You know, what's his name? Or so then if you're talking about their dog, then they think, oh, whatever they are, Hare Krishna, they may be crazy, whatever, but they asked about my dog, so that means they're okay, they're fine, we like the Hare Krishna. You know? So it's like we're wearing this, that's our dog collar, our tulsi beads, so we are Krishna's dog, you know. So the devotees are there, so we have to develop some respect and love for the devotees, because Krishna's surrounded by them, he's never alone, you know. So yeah, by learning to serve the devotees, then we develop our love to serve Krishna. Yeah, valid point. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, I think we better stop there, otherwise they'll wondering if we're not interested in prasadam, you know. They might be cancelled due to lack of interest. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Vaishnava Sangha Vaishnava Seva ki, Sri Harinam Prabhu ke, Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hare Krishna.